It's here. You guys, it's our first official Football Friday. Yes, I'm yelling. I'm excited. I know the game itself wasn't super competitive in the second half, but that's credit to the Bills. They dominated on both sides of the ball in Los Angeles last night, despite seeing the Rams Vince Lombardi trophy with Andrew Whitworth and this surprise cameo by Odell Beckham Jr., despite the fact that it was tied at halftime underneath that Super Bowl championship banner. They did have 10,000 of their closest friends there as members of Bills Mafia. They made a ton of noise, and the way the Bills started each half, that to me was the loudest statement they could make. How they started each half. Two brilliant drives, two convincing offensive drives. And in the third quarter, when the game still hung in the balance, in the third quarter, which was the turning point, the Bills' offense was creative and relentless, efficient, certainly productive. And then the defense gave the ball right back to the offense and Josh Allen over and over. Two very short drives for the Los Angeles Rams in the third quarter. Only 24 total yards. That's when the game got away from the champs. Despite four turnovers, the Buffalo Bills rack up more than 400 yards of total offense, 120 of them on the ground, 90% on third down, and Josh Allen near perfect. Except for a couple of picks, one that went through the hands of his receiver. It's on, baby. It is on. But for the love of all that is football season, can we please tap the brakes on Super Bowl preview? That's all I ask. Is that too much to ask? I know I can be a demanding girl every now and then. I've got high standards. Stop it. Stop it right now. Don't be that guy. Or that girl. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Exactly. Thank you, Pete Carroll. We are live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Do you need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. I've had so much fun breaking down this one game. I've had so much fun thinking about the infinite possibilities of the season that start with Sunday, week one. To that end, we've got our very first game of the week poll, 2022. Bring it. Let's go. Time to vote for the After Hours game of the week. And thankfully, we don't have to include Bills Rams because that certainly would have been one of the candidates. But since it's already in the books, in a game that we'll talk about here momentarily, we were able to come up with four other candidates. Couple of revenge games in there. Broncos, Seahawks, Browns, Panthers. And then the return. We can't miss you if you're only gone for 40 days. The return of Tom Brady. The Dallas Cowboys. The return of Dan Quinn. Oh my gosh. The storylines around the Cowboys this offseason too have been goofy. But actually, it's a fourth candidate, a divisional matchup that right now has got the majority of your votes. I'm not going to tell you which one. You're going to have to go check it out for yourself on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. If you haven't yet found your place on Survivor Island, we've got a spot for you. Cold drinks too, actually. We serve them as incentive. But once you lose and you're done off Survivor Island, I take your drink and I force you to walk the plank and swim with the sharks. So just beware of what you're walking into. So either Twitter or Facebook, because it's week one of the NFL season. Our phone number 855-212-4227. And we're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Do you need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. Did I already do that? I did it twice, this hour and last hour, right? Did I do
that? That's accurate, yeah. It's all right. Rocket Mortgage will take it.
For all the times that I forgot to do it, I don't know what happens. I get so wrapped up in football. But see, the thing is, I'm not in midseason form yet either. So I do believe it's a little bit like riding a bike. But I wouldn't say that these are my comfiest slippers just yet. All of that better make sense to you. For Von Miller, it was definitely like riding a bike. It did not take Von Miller long to impact the game in a powerful way. The leadership, the experience that he brings. I heard a pregame interview with him. He was talking to Rich Eisen on Westwood One, and they had taped it earlier in the week. And this insight, this one particular quote, jumped out at me so much that I had to put it out there on Twitter. Super Bowl teams are always player-led. They're not GM-led. They're not coaching-led. No, Super Bowl teams are led from the inside out. They're led from the locker room. They're led from the guys who are actually in the trenches, and that includes Von Miller and what he brings to the table. And he raved about Josh Allen as a leader as well. He talked about different guys on the field, and he also raved about Buffalo Bills fans, about Bills Mafia. He said, whatever you might say about Buffalo as a place to live, these fans, the people in Western New York, they make up for it.
Bills Mafia, what's good?
So Von Miller is just as thrilled to be with the Bills and to be in Buffalo as they are to have him. And right away, not only does he have a sack in the first quarter, he has a sack later in the game. And as they pointed out, as Chris Collinsworth pointed out on the NBC broadcast, when you have to pay so much attention to Von Miller, other guys are getting one-on-ones. Other guys are seeing open lanes to the quarterback. On the defensive side of the ball, because we always start with offense, so we'll start with defense. On the defensive side of the ball, it was domination. It was overwhelming the way the defensive line was able to create opportunities and run roughshod over the Rams' O-line. I know Andrew Whitworth is in his 40s and probably not ready to play, but it's a little bit ironic that he was standing out there with the Vince Lombardi trophy and the offensive line for the Rams looked like a weak point. Maybe it won't be that way all the way through the season, but the Bills had their way. Seven sacks of Matthew Stafford, 15 additional quarterback hits, meaning they got to him. And they also picked him off 3 times. So when your defense is forcing the opposing offense to give up the ball that often, is limiting drives, is limiting possession time. And then you've got Josh Allen and a plethora of weapons on the offense. It certainly does look good. Remember we talked to Sal Capaccio, the Bills sideline reporter who was working the game last night. He joined us Wednesday live from Los Angeles after a big Bills Mafia event. And I asked him, okay, we all know the strengths of this team. What are the weaknesses or the potential weaknesses? If you didn't hear it, here's what he came up with. Ken Dorsey. Now, he didn't say it as in Ken Dorsey doesn't know what he's doing. He's the Achilles heel. Only that Ken Dorsey has never called plays before. Ken Dorsey has never been in a situation where the game plan is on his shoulders. He's implemented it. He's never called it. That was the best thing that Sal could come up with. Well, Ken Dorsey was in the ear of Josh Allen last night for the first time, and they jumped on the board immediately, and they were able to score often.
Snap. Josh hands it off. No, keeps it. Rolls to his right. Fires a man wide open. It is caught. It is caught by Davis. Runs into the end zone. Touchdown, Buffalo! A beautiful play-action pass. Amazing. A 26-yard touchdown pass on third down to Gabe Davis. Touchdown, Bills. It is first and goal. The snap to Josh. Looks to throw. Fires. Caught by Isaiah McKenzie. Fights his way into the end zone. Touchdown, Buffalo. Josh Allen threw a fastball right into the midsection of Isaiah McKenzie for the 7-yard touchdown strike.
Shotgun snap, they rush four, moving up, Allen cocks his arm, throws long on the run, wide open, falling down, catch, goal line, digs, touchdown, touchdown, what a throw by Allen, and a falling down catch by Diggs, 53 yards, and the Bills go up 30-10.
That was the capper with Kevin Harlan on Westwood One. Before that, John Murphy on Bills Radio. It was early fourth quarter. This is after the Bills dominate every way you can in the third quarter. Matthew Stafford finally gets the ball back. He throws his second interception. Three plays, 59 yards later, Stephon Diggs is falling on his backside into the end zone with a 53-yard catch. So, yes, it was far from perfect. There were four turnovers for Buffalo, but 90% on third down. And, yes, part of that is on the Bills, but part of that is also on the Rams and their inability to come up with any ways to complicate what the Bills were trying to do. Instead of dictating, they were reacting, right? They were just trying to hang on for dear life in some of those junctures there against Josh Allen. I mean, they were stiff arms. He was running for first downs. I don't love that he's still their leading rusher. I've said that so many times about the Bills. When Josh Allen's your leading rusher, that's not a formula for success. I don't think that's the best game plan long term. But he's a load. He's absolutely a load. And he's got options. And he knows how to use them. And he looked like he was already locked in, even with a brand new offensive coordinator.
We hurt ourselves a lot in that first half. There's a lot to learn from. But that second half, that's who we want to be. You know, going out there and executing the way, you know, we expect ourselves to execute. I thought Coach Dorsey, you know, called a heck of a game. It's his first live, you know, action. So I'm proud of him for handling the situations how we did. We were 90% on third down. Like, that's a recipe for success. And, again, four turnovers, that's way too many. So we've got a lot to clean up, but we'll celebrate this one. It's hard to win in this league, especially against good teams, and that's a really good team we just played.
It's just about winning one game, and that's what it was. We came together in the second half, played good complementary football, starting with the opening kickoff of the second half. You know, there's still some things we have to work on in terms of taking care of the football.
26 of 31 for Josh Allen, nearly 300 yards, three touchdowns, a rushing TD. He does throw a couple of interceptions. He gets sacked a couple of times, but that's the worst that you can say, right, is that the turnovers were there, and three of them came in the first half, so they definitely changed that in the second half. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Of course, everybody's going to rave about that defensive line that was dominating up front.
I felt the D-line. I mean, you could feel them make an impact, factor into the game. When you can do that, it helps you in the back end as well. So I thought, again, within the defense, the rush was helping the coverage, and the coverage was helping the rush, and it timed up well. And we got those Buffalo fans in that stadium behind us a little bit. That helped too.
When you look at a lot of the ways that this game unfolded, I feel a huge sense of responsibility to this team. We weren't ready to go. I take a lot of pride in that, and that's on me. I got to do better. There was a lot of decisions that I made that I felt like didn't put our players in good enough spots. This was a humbling experience, but we're going to stay connected. I have total belief and confidence in what we can do moving forward. Whether we won tonight or whether we had a humbling experience like this, we've got 16 games guaranteed left, and we're going to dust ourselves off. We're going to look ourselves in the mirror. We're going to be accountable to the things that we can all do better within the framework of our roles, and we're going to move forward the right way, and that's all I know how to do. This hasn't been the first setback that we've experienced, and we're going to respond the right way. I do trust that. And all I know how to do is look at this film, correct it, put together a good week of preparation, and be ready to go against the Falcons next week. But there's no way to put it other than, you know, didn't do a good enough job. It starts with me, and then we can overall execute better in a lot of areas.
Sean McVay giving his assessment. But if you missed my conversation with Michael Duarte from our second hour of NBC LA, he was in the press room when McVay was lighting up his locker room. Now, he did take responsibility, but according to Duarte and the others who were in the press room, because it was easy to hear, it shares a wall.
Yeah!
Apparently, McVay used a bunch of choice words that cannot be repeated in polite company. That was how he greeted the players when they got back into the locker room following this loss. First season opening loss under Sean McVay. And Matthew Stafford, not a game that he wants to watch on tape, I'm sure. He had a lot of pressure. There were ill-advised shovel passes. There were passes that were rushed. Now, he had a few where he connected, and he's still Matthew Stafford, and he's still, as I have always called him, a poor man's Brett Favre. Though now he has a Super Bowl ring. So there's that. There's that credibility. He's a great quarterback. But this was not his best performance. And a lot of these guys on Twitter after the fact, this is not something that they want to experience again. It's not something they're used to, certainly not on their own field. But the idea that they could just step on the field and not really have any time in preseason, well, sometimes that means you're going to look rusty. Sometimes that means you're going to look like you've still need a few more of these under your belt before you can find a rhythm.
We can play a whole lot better than that. I know that, you know, as disappointing as tonight is, you never want to start the season away that way. It really doesn't matter if it's the first game, last game, whatever it is. You want to win them all. Didn't accomplish that goal tonight. Didn't play well enough to do it. The one thing that gives me a good feeling is knowing the guys in that locker room and knowing how we're going to, you know, all band together, look at each other, look inward first and go, hey, what can I do to be better for the guy next to me? That starts with our head coach. He's always preaching that to us. And you know, that's real stuff for us as players. That's how we act. And you know, we believe in that locker room.
We know they're good, but at the same time, like, we didn't play well. Like, the Rams, we worried about the Rams. In the Rams, we didn't play well. So we focus on what we got to get better, at. But, if that's what y'all want to say, if that's what y'all think, then cool.
Jalen Ramsey. That's Jalen Ramsey. He had a busy night. He and Stephon Diggs, they were matched up for a good portion of this game, and there's no way to sugarcoat it. Stephon got the best of Jalen Ramsey. Cool. Now, there are a couple of spots where maybe Jalen thought he had help and the help wasn't there. It's not all on him. The defensive secondary got picked apart by Josh Allen and the receivers, but Stephon Diggs got the better of that matchup with Jalen.
That's what y'all think.
So I think it's pretty obvious. So that's a little incentive for Jalen moving forward. 7 sacks, 15 quarterback hits, and 3 takeaways for the Bills defense. 400 plus yards of offense, 4 touchdowns for Josh Allen. Oh, yeah. I can hear it now. Super Bowl preview. Stop it! By the way, Odell Beckham Jr. just magically appeared there at SoFi Stadium. His boy Von Miller, they're tight. What does that mean? We'll hear from Von coming up. And you know, there's a whole slate of games on Sunday in the NFL. It's our first Football Friday. Take our poll on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on Facebook, what is the After Hours game of the week? Because you're listening to After Hours, in case you didn't know, with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Spreads them out with 4 receivers across the board. Russ rolls right, throws into the corner. It is a touchdown! Seahawks, Tyler Lockett, touchdown reception, number 2 on the day. From 5 yards out, a little single coverage, and he just got right into the front corner of the end zone and beat Breon Borders for 6.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Well, it used to be the job of Steve Rabel on Seahawks radio to describe everything and anything that Russell Wilson did on a football field. But now that falls to the Denver Broncos. Though in week 1, Steve Rabel and the rest of the Seahawks nation, the 12th man, all of his former teammates and his coaches, they get a taste of Russell Wilson as well. That is just one of the options for the After Hours game of the week. You can check them out. We had to narrow it down to 4 for the purposes of a Twitter poll, and it was not easy. A-Law Radio or on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. There's been a lot of chatter about the Seahawks trading Russ and how it wasn't the first time, and if they'd had their way, they would have tried, or they would have traded him after 2018. Maybe would have traded him going back to not this past offseason, but the one before. Remember, they were at least in conversations with some teams like the Cleveland Browns. There was also conversation with, I'm trying to think, who was it that was the offered, or they wanted 4 first round picks, or I don't remember exactly what it was, but the Seahawks wouldn't part with him after considering the offer. Maybe it was the Bears. And so it's been kind of this storyline that's been recirculating for the past several years. And the closer we get to this rematch, this kind of revenge game with Russ against Seattle, the more it comes up. And so now Russ is actually talking about the fact that the Seahawks did try to ship him out of Seattle more than once.
I definitely think they tried to, you know, a couple times and try to see what was out there. It's part of the business and it's part of being a professional and everything else. And upset is probably the wrong word. I don't think that, you know, I believe in my talent, who I am. You know, I believe I'm one of the best in the world. I don't worry about anything else other than that.
So we know the Broncos were the one that ended up landing him, even though the Broncos were trying for Aaron Rodgers, actually simultaneously. Five draft picks, including two first rounders and two second rounders. In addition to three players, they believe Russell Wilson is finally the quote-unquote substitution for Peyton Manning, their next great franchise quarterback. And we'll see how that plays, not just in a stacked division like the AFC West, but in week number one against the Seattle Seahawks. So yeah, Wilson confirming on Thursday before he went out to practice with the Broncos that the Seahawks had tried to trade him more than once in his decade in Seattle, despite all the Pro Bowls, the two Super Bowl starts, the one Super Bowl ring. And the one team that I heard from 2018, and that Wilson actually said he heard this too, that it was pretty serious with the Browns in 2018, that this was an active conversation. It just didn't pan out that way. So think about the last few years at quarterback and Baker Mayfield, who, of course, is no longer with the Browns, and how that storyline would have been non-existent. Just the best reality show on TV. So what do you expect when you are in Seattle, back in Seattle on Monday?
My experience in Seattle was one of a kind. You know, 10 years, I couldn't imagine those, you know, those years not being in my life, and how special they were and how many games we won and how many amazing thrillers and just you know, Super Bowl we won and everything else. So I'm going to think about all those memories and everything else and the joy of that.
We've had a lot of preparation against, you know, for this game. It's an unusual preparation in that regard. And so we're hopefully, you know, it's the challenges. Can you take it to the game? And that all shows up for you. But it's exciting. I mean, you know, we know Russ well, and nobody could know him better than we do. And that's been part of the preparation. And it's been exciting to me to try to convey it and make it clear when this is happening, when that's happening, why, and all that kind of stuff. And so it's a fun part of the preparation. Hopefully it'll work out for us.
Many people have suggested that I should pick the Broncos in the survivor pool in the first week. I don't know how I feel about that. I don't know how to pick any of these games. I suck at this. I don't want to do it. Every year when it comes to survivor pools, I'm already feeling the tension in my gut. Pete Carroll on Sirius XM NFL Radio, and he makes a good point. There's a reason why Pete Carroll has been tenured in Seattle for so long. He's the one who handpicked Russ as a rookie after preseason and training camp, that he would get the start and would be their starter as a rookie instead of the veterans they had. Of course, now he's got Geno and now he's got Drew Locke, and much to the chagrin of the Seahawks fans, did not make a trade for, say, a Baker Mayfield. Of course, that would have ruined the NFL scheduling, right? Because it's not the Seahawks and the Panthers in week, or Seahawks and Browns in week number one. It's the Panthers and Browns in week number one.
Can you flex a week one game? They would have found a way.
But that would have taken away the Russell component, right? So I guess by virtue of the process of elimination, since they wanted Russell Wilson to face his former team in week one on Monday night in a marquee game, well, they were left hoping that Baker Mayfield got traded to Carolina. So that's why they put the Browns and the Panthers together in Charlotte on week number one. I think it's fairly obvious that Most people believe the Seahawks will end up in the basement of the NFC West yet again. But I still say this division is intriguing. Think about what the Cardinals did to start last season going 8-0. And yes, they made the playoffs. But my goodness, from scrubbing of social media to trades being made, they brought in weapons around Kyler Murray. They've given him a fat contract. I mean, it's about keeping up with the Joneses because the Super Bowl champion is there in the NFC West. Not to mention, another team from the NFC West was in the championship game before the Rams move on to the Super Bowl. So the division itself is delicious and delightful. And we've got not one, but two quarterback changes in this division, right? Because we've got a brand new QB in Seattle, Geno or Drew, maybe Geno and Drew together form one average quarterback. But we've also got a new starter in San Francisco, and that's Trey Lance. There's some chatter about why Trey wasn't named a team captain. By the way, these are voted on by fellow teammates.
Obviously, that's a goal of mine, but then I don't think you can look at any six of those guys and be like, hey, that guy's a bozo, because those guys have all played football at a very, very high level. So, yeah, situations are different. I'm excited. I voted for every single one of those guys, so I think each and every one of them deserves it. Yeah, it's definitely a goal of mine moving forward. But those guys have all proved it.
Gonna look into it that much. He was seventh in the voting. I just don't want to put seven on there. You know, Debo was eight. We just didn't wanted to go with six. They don't allow eight to the coin toss, I don't believe. It's also his first year starting for us. You know, I think guys do, you know, there's not many rookies who end up being the captains. I know this is his second year, but he's a rookie for us in terms of his first time being our starting quarterback.
When was the last time you called someone or referred to someone as a bozo?
It's an outdated word. You don't hear it too often anymore.
Hey, not for Trey Lance. He's bringing Bozo back, baby.
I like it. I like
Let's
it.
Bozo bring Bozo back. Oh, well, I don't know what we're talking about, the clown. I just think calling someone a bozo. Well,
that's what I think about when I think of Bozo. Bozo the clown. He was the famous clown, right? That's where it comes from?
I mean, are clowns famous?
Bozo was, if I know who he is.
What about Ronald McDonald? Clowns. Is he considered a famous clown?
I would think he's very famous.
But is he considered a clown, like a famous clown?
Yeah, he's definitely a clown.
Do you think that's what Trey Lance was talking about, Bozo the Clown?
I do. I think, well, not the specific Bozo the Clown, but in reference to Bozo the Clown.
Wait, can we hear it again? You can cut it off after we hear him use the word bozo.
Obviously, that's a goal of mine, but and then I don't think you can look at any six of those guys and be like, hey, that guy's a bozo.
Let's hope Trey Lance continues to use words like that in his press conferences. He's essentially saying the top six that were voted on by teammates, you can't look at those guys and call them bozo.
Yeah, that guy's a bozo.
You can hear the smile on his face, though, which I love. Erica Herskowitz, good morning to you. Happy Football Friday.
Happy Football Friday.
When was the last time you used the word bozo?
I actually do use the word bozo.
Do you really?
Yeah, like if my kids are being dopes, I say you're being such a bozo. Or I say like knucklehead is another good one. So between bozo and knucklehead, those are the two
I would have leaned to. I would have laughed even more if he had said you can't look at any of those guys and call them knuckleheads.
Yeah, knucklehead, noodle, bozo. Those are the words I lean to.
Well, now see, I had no idea. Is that cool? I'm going to start using it now.
Well, you're just assuming that what I say is cool, which is basically not.
Well, you better knuckle up.
I mean, Mike Tomlin's cool. We know that to be sure.
Yeah, he said knuckle up, though.
Knuckle up, you knucklehead. I wouldn't put it past him to use knucklehead. He comes up with all kinds of things, like the quarterbacks moved their units.
I mean, I think it's just a cute, nice way of calling somebody an idiot, right? Bozo.
It's a little sugar-coated.
Yeah.
Bozo, like, knucklehead.
Yeah, it's like me being able to say what I want to say, but with a smile and joke, you know.
Uh-huh. Yeah, same
veiling
thing.
Veiling it.
Same thing as Trey Lance, and he's might be 22 years old. So look at that. You are super cool. You're still hip, Erica.
Woo, hip. I'm pretty sure the word hip is not hip either.
My nieces get so upset at me when I say things like hip. Auntie Amy, do not ever say that.
Hip. You got to say like lit or fire or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, something like that.
We are not cool, by the way.
Definitely not. We're fringe. Nope. That's what we are.
Yeah, I would say.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. Come on, come on.
Click, boom.
As we wrap up the week, we contemplate the mysteries of the universe.
Boom! I just laid down the A-Law. Boom!
The best highlights.
Foles running up and down the lines, a direct snap, and it goes to Clement, who gives it off to Burton, the tight end, who then throws in the end zone. Touchdown! Foles caught the ball!
And you're fire.
Thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate it. The greatest sports show in America.
Boom!
After Hours presents the Boom Moment of the Week. Here's Amy Lawrence.
Boom!
Snap. Josh hands it off. No, keeps it. Rolls to his right. Fires a man wide open. It is caught. It is caught by Davis. Runs into the end zone. Touchdown, Buffalo! A beautiful play-action pass. Amazing. A 26-yard touchdown pass on third down to Gabe Davis. Touchdown, Bills.
That is it. First touchdown of the 2022 NFL season. Definitely is a boom moment, and it comes on the opening drive for the Buffalo Bills in Los Angeles. 10,000 Bills Mafia strong? Maybe. They were pretty loud. As Michael Duarte told us earlier, he was at the game covering it for NBC LA. Because everybody was dressed in blue, it was really hard to tell where the Bills fans were in many cases. But toward the end of the game, specifically the third quarter on, well, you could hear them, and Rams fans started to leave. And so it became obvious where the Bills fans were posted up. John Murphy on the opening drive of the NFL season on Bills Radio, a five-minute chunk that results in Gabe Davis picking up where he left off in the playoffs just a few short, oh no, that were very long months ago. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. As I say, the Bills had 7 sacks, 15 quarterback hits, 3 takeaways by virtue of the interception. Von Miller in the middle of it with a couple of sacks himself. Everybody in the Bills locker room raving about the defensive line. And ooh, we got the first victorious locker room speech of the season.
Hey, that's a great job, man. Glory to God. Great job by you guys. Hey, you know what? That didn't happen by accident.
Right.
The way you guys work, man, you earned it.
Yep.
Real proud of you, man. Hung together. Second half, fourth quarter, man, took over. Way to go, man. Both sides of the ball and special teams.
That's it. First victorious locker room of the entire season. And according to Michael, he was live with us in our second hour. We would not be allowed to play the locker room speech from Sean McVay because it used choice words. In fact, according to Mike, there were words he didn't even know existed, or not that many swear words in his vernacular. Football, it's just different. So we're not going to play that one. However, it's just one game and there's a long way to go. Even though it feels like a sprint, it definitely is a marathon. So the Shawns and the Bills Mafia and the Rams house and all of that, you got to catch that interview, or got to get that interview with Michael on our podcast After Hours, amylawrence.com. Some really intriguing stuff, like how he was eavesdropping on the Rams locker room. And also, what is the prospectus for Odell Beckham Jr.? Something else that Mike told us, he actually stalked OBJ. Nobody knew Very few people knew he was going to be there. But when he walked out, of course, the media thronged and was trying to get video of OBJ hugging Matthew Stafford and blah, blah, blah. Von Miller's tight with Odell. So is there a chance that he is going to go to the Bills or maybe the Rams?
He said whoever won this game, that's where he was going to go, you know. So, I mean, you know, it's truth behind every joke, you know. So we just had to see, man. He's a huge part of our success last year. And, you know, whenever he gets healthy, man, I'm sure it's a lot of teams that, you know, going to be wanting him. And, you know, we just got to wait and see, man. I think we did everything we could possibly do to get him. We just got to, you know, wait till he gets healthy, man. We got a great squad over here, and I think everybody, you know, saw it, man. I think Josh, you know, add another weapon, man. That's just another guy that we could get the ball to, man. But right now, man, we got a great group of guys, man. You know, Isaiah McKenzie, Gabe Davis, Dawson Knox, Diggs, man. Running backs went crazy today. Offensive line, Brock DeWill. We got a great team, man. And, you know, we're just going to keep going. And, you know, whenever he gets healthy, we'll see what happens.
Have I mentioned that I love Von Miller? And he's all about the we's already, even though it's a brand new team. There's no confusion about which we he belongs to. He is definitely making a difference this season, if week one is any indication. I hope he stays healthy all the way through. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Speaking of staying healthy, Dak Prescott wasn't a full participant in practice on Thursday, and there was some concern over his ankle, which he described as uncomfortable because of a new set of cleats.
As you know, that's this league, and if you don't report a hangnail, you'll get suspended or they'll get fined, excuse me. So, but no, I feel great. I still feel the best that I felt in a very, very long time. Not even comparable to where I was last year going into this game. So, honestly, just excited, ready for Sunday to get here.
Sunday Night Football, Cowboys hosting the Buccaneers. And Tom Brady still answering questions about whether or not this will be his final season. I mean, okay, it's partially a product of his age. It's partially a product of the fact that he did retire and then unretire. So I don't know if we can blame the media for harping on that one as much. Did you guys see the Michael Jordan promo that happened during the game last night? It was pretty sweet. It was a couple highlights of Jordan and then him saying, I was away from the game for 2 years. He didn't even last. Brady didn't even last 2 months. And they got Michael Jordan to do the promo for Sunday Night Football, which I think is awesome. Star power flocking to the NFL every which way. So that's one of our candidates for Game of the Week, but we've got others. Right now, leading the field is a divisional matchup. I'm not going to tell you which one. Maybe it's Pittsburgh and Cincinnati. Mitch Trubisky is the starting quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers, but for how long? That is the question surrounding the Steelers. Also, their defense better show some teeth because they're my starting defense on my fantasy league. Not that anyone cares. Joe Burrow's got a rebuild offensive line in front of him. What kind of pressure can the Steelers get on Joe Burrow? This has nothing to do with the game on Sunday, but we think it's, interesting might be a too vague of a word. But the idea that Mason Rudolph, who's got the tenure there in Pittsburgh, is now relegated to third on the QB depth chart, and the idea that was floated around that they might trade him, the Steelers might trade him somewhere else, knowing that Kenny Pickett would be the backup to Mitch Trubisky. All of that is not sitting well with Mason. Trust me when I say you can read his facial expression by hearing what he has to say.
Those decisions are between my agent, Omar, and then the front office. So, I'm going to leave that to those guys. And just, for now, I'm on this team and do the best I can to help the guys prepare and do everything I can from a mental perspective to help the other two guys if they need any help. So.
Oh, stab you right in the heart. And I feel for him. I do. He probably thought this was his opportunity, finally, once Ben Roethlisberger retired. Then they trade for Mitch Trubisky. Then they draft Kenny Pickett. And truly, I hope Mitch turns this opportunity into something special because I'm not sure he got a fair shake there in Chicago. Definitely didn't develop the way that he should have or could have. And some of it's on him. Some of it's also on the Bears and their coaching and how they used him and just everything else to do with that offense. I'm hoping that he turns the second chance into a little bit of redemption. But it's truly the case in Pittsburgh that the most popular player on the team is the backup quarterback. The fans so desperately want to see Kenny Pickett on the field. I have seen that so many times on my social media. And I do think it will happen. It's inevitable. It's going to happen. I just don't know when, nor do you. But there's that old adage. Actually, it's a joke. And didn't Von Miller just tell us there's truth in every joke? It's a joke, right? That you trot out there about football, the most popular guy on the roster is the backup QB whenever fans are dissatisfied with the quarterback. Well, there's definitely some truth to that in Pittsburgh. Hey, Nick Chubb, what do you think you're going to see from Baker? Will he have an extra edge on Sunday?
We all know Baker, so I don't know what to expect.
But do you think he meant that the way it comes across? We all know Baker, so I have no idea what we're going to see. I have no idea what to expect.
I can't hear that without thinking of that as a slight. I can't. He's either going to throw for five touchdowns or five interceptions like Baker normally would do.
I just saw this post from a guy on our Facebook page who said that he's picking Panthers and Browns as the game of the week because either Baker gets his revenge or Myles Garrett ruins his day. As if those are the only two options. Christian McCaffrey could run for 200 yards. How about that? All right, we're back Sunday night. Don't miss it. Enjoy the weekend. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Boom!